Hello everyone, and welcome to our training program today. And this is Masters, the Martial Arts Masters. And today we have an honored guest on our show. We have Josie Steve Muhammad, a legend in the martial arts, especially in the fighting arts and forms. And today he's on our call today. And what we're going to do an interview and get some lessons. I know for myself, as a karate practitioner, you know, we have a certain way that we do things, certain things that we say. You know, the Chinese art, and here in North Carolina, there's not a lot of Chinese art. So today we're going to gain some information from the legend. Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing better and better, sir. And I really do appreciate you taking your time out and to be on our call today. And you know, the Martial Arts Masters, we have taken a task of going and finding those people that have made contribution to the martial arts. And when you have to think of the great fighters during the era of Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee and Joe Louis, you know, your name is one of those names that stick out. And, you know, for a lot of people, if they haven't, you know, done their study, they may not know you. And I thought it was very important that we brought you on our show because you, as a martial artist, have had played a very large part in the history of the martial arts as a competitor, as a mentor, as a teacher. So I felt this was very important. You know, we had a chance to actually meet a few weeks ago in Jacksonville, North Carolina. A lot of stories that you shared, a lot of information. I think it's important for today's instructors to know about the information. I think it's important for the future black belts that they know about the people that have made major contribution, and you are one of those people. So, sir, tell us a little bit about you. I guess the, you know, one of the big questions we are asking martial artists as we're talking about who's who in the martial arts is what motivated you to get started in the martial arts, and when did you get started?
Well, I got started in martial arts back in the 50s. At the time, there was no name. I had never heard the word martial arts or karate, or the only thing I've ever heard of is judo. My mom told me I could go and find a job, and I was 13 at the time. And I went to this Chinese restaurant and asked them if they would allow me to work for them as 13. And they said, well, no, we can't let you work. You have to be 16. I kept begging them. And I said, I can wash dishes. I can mop floors and whatever you want me to do. So they gave me a chance. But one morning, I had to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning. One morning, I was climbing across the fence, going into the backyard of the restaurant, and I noticed these people doing some movements, and those movements were called Tai Chi. I found out later, much later, as a matter of fact, about 15 years later, I found out. But I took Tai Chi from middle school all the way through high school, not knowing that there was even such an art. They called it Chinese exercise. I had also previously taken boxing from 11 to 13. I took golden gloves. So I had some little knowledge of boxing, but none of the martial science. I didn't find out that I had any knowledge of martial science until I went into the Marine Corps and went to Okinawa. And I noticed that in hand-to-hand combat, they had this Okinawan instructor. And he was making movements through doing a kata, which I didn't know anything about at the time. And as soon as he finished, I went over to him and said, those movements, I said, I know some movements that are similar to that. He said, show me. And so I showed him, and he said, oh, Tai Chi. I said, oh, no. I don't know what you just said, but this is called Chinese exercise. He started laughing, and he told me that that was a martial science that I was doing, and I didn't know what that meant at the time. And the next time I was introduced to martial arts was also in Okinawa, which was called Goju. I never really learned the basics of Goju because I was always in the field. But when I got back to California, I went to Ed Parker's school, which was at that time was called Ed Parker's Chinese Kempo Karate. And I started studying with him. And I've been with Kempo since then. But what I have done is I've taken Kempo, and I had some Wing Chun from Arc Wong. I took Kempo, Wing Chun, Tai Chi, and boxing, and I melted them into one fighting science, which is called Kim Wing Tai Box. I use Kempo for my base or foundation, Wing Chun for trapping and center line, Tai Chi for footwork and fluidity, boxing for hand speed and targeting.
Wow, and I love the word that you're using, and the term that most people don't really get is martial science, because the study of the martial arts is not just about the combative side, but it's the study of the movement and the technique and the empowerment that you gain from that. And then you have the connection of the mind and the body of drawing these things together. So it's not just a punch, it's not just a kick. And to be a great champion, you know, it's sort of having your own system. I know, you know, I've had the great honor of training with Joe Lewis and other great martial artists and learning, you know, certain essence, you know, of that. So what about the competition side? I know we've been talking a lot about the competitive side of martial arts, and I know that you were one of those great fighters, you know, that, you know, fought against Chuck Norris and Joe Lewis, and the name goes on of the different great martial artists in that era that you competed against. So let's talk a little bit, you know, about, you know, your first tournament, or, you know, what got you motivated and what kept you going.
My first tournament didn't work out that well. Back in my day, there was only three belts, white belt, brown belt, and black belt, and we got four tips on our white belt. I was like a one-tipper, which meant that I was beginning to understand my basics, and I decided that I wanted to go get in a karate tournament. And I went out to the tournament, and it wasn't tournaments in the sense, it was like someone would say, today we're going to have fighting in our school, we're going to give away a little something. It wasn't really a trophy or anything, it was like a little medal or something like that. But I went, and all the students in the school told me, no, Steve, you're not ready to go fight. But I decided I was a big, bad Marine, so I decided I would go and fight. Well, I was out there for about 10 seconds, I think, before I got scored on twice, and it only took 2 points to actually win. But I went out there with the idea that it was a technique called five swords. This guy was surely going to throw a punch, and I was going to be able to work five swords on him and take him down. Well, he didn't throw a punch. He kicked me, and he scored a point. So I got back, and I said, man, this time he's got to throw a punch because he's already kicked. He kicked me again, and he got another point. And I didn't know the rules. And so I got in the fighting stance, and the referee said, no, bow to me. And I bowed to him. I bowed to my opponent, and he says, winner, and pointed at my opponent. And I thought to myself, well, I didn't really get a chance to fight. You know, that was the whole idea. So I said, well, I'm not going to fight anymore until I really learn what fighting is all about and how to deliver these movements against an opponent. And that was my first experience in fighting. And I said to myself, I'm never going to lose again. After that time, I'm going to work hard, and I'm never going to stop until I become a champion. And I started that as a white belt and as a Marine.
Well, you know, when you look at most successful people, in many cases, they fail the first time. But to have that courage that you're talking about now to get back up and go try again. And as I tell my own students, it's not the person that wins all the time that gains the most knowledge. in a lot of cases, it's the person that actually lost, or, you know, that didn't, were not successful, but had the courage to come back and try again. You know, and I was reading online where someone was stating about you that Steve Muhammad exemplifies the true spirit of the martial arts tradition. In short, he is a warrior and a true gentleman. So many times when we go to events, that those things now are not displayed in, even in the dojo and different things, that you can still be. And that's why your self-image, you know, as a martial artist is really, is so important for you. So when did you fight Chuck Norris? When was that?
I can't remember the exact date or even the year, but it was back in the 60s. But I don't remember exactly what date it was that I was able to fight with him. But it was back in the 60s.
Once you discovered the martial arts, did you do any other sports, or were you involved in other sports?
Oh, in high school, in college, I played basketball, football, baseball, and ran track. I played the major four sports. As a matter of fact, I got a scholarship to go to Kansas University in a sports, a scholastic scholarship, not academic.
Do you feel that your martial arts helped play a part in your ability to perform better in your sports, in your learning aspect?
Well, I think that the martial arts would definitely help me in my sports. But by the time I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to college. I went to UCLA, but I was, my time for playing sports and stuff had ended. But I found that as I played sports just on the street and playing basketball or in the gyms and stuff just for fun, I found that my martial science increased my ability to do things that I wasn't doing, even when I was in college playing sports. The martial science increase my ability to move and be flexible and to be able to see much better, because in the martial science, you have to pick up movements, and you have to be able to pick up any and all movements when you're fighting. And that says a lot about playing sports. And I didn't play baseball anymore, but I know that just from being able to pick up movements, that it would help me and hitting that ball when it was time to hit it, because I would be able to see that ball and be able to hit a target, and which you're hitting it with a stick or a bat, but it would increase my ability to be able to do that. I taught that to some of the children in the Little League baseball and stuff by teaching them karate and teaching them movement. It helped them in sports as they were coming up. Because they had, in order to play sports, you have to have a good eye and good hand eye coordination in all the sports in which you do. And because the martial science does give you high hand eye coordination, it is good for them to learn the martial arts, even to take other sports.
When we refer to in martial science, we talk about principles of mathematic fighting. What does that mean?
Everything that comes into existence have a mathematical code to it. So when you think about the science of fighting, it has a mathematical code. It has distance, angles, timing, and you have a target. Is that not the science for fighting? Distance, angles, timing, and targeting. But also, and anything that you build, there's a time in which you intend to build it in, which is the distance. There are the various angles in which you use in order to build whatever you need to build. And there is a time that you need to get it built. And there is specifically a target date for that time. I may not have explained that exactly the way I explained it sometime, but that's on my mind now. But all targets have a distance, angles, timing, and a target. To be successful, you need those four entities within that science of whatever you're going to do. It's like someone asked me, they said, I don't understand distance, angles, timing, and targeting. I said, if you want me to pick up that object on the table, I said, there's a distance in which I have to cover, in which I have to cover to get to that table. And I said, also, because of the way I am now, I have to turn or take an angle to get to that table. And the time in which it takes for me to get from here to that table. And then what is the target? The target is the object that you told me to pick up or bring back to you. So I just use distance, angles, timing, and targeting to get to that table. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, when we, is this, I know you had several gentlemen with you when you came down to Jacksonville. So this is a principle that is taught in all your classes, especially to your senior black belts. Would you say this is the foundation of the system that you're teaching now?
Yes, sir, it is. But I teach it, that language in which everything that comes into existence has a language to it. We have a language for the science in which I teach. It's like saying the speed of human thought. And most people say you can't judge the speed of human thought. Well, that is true. But the average speed of human thought, it travels, or either you can think at a speed of 24 billion miles per second. Think about that in the science of fighting. I can think at 24 billion miles per second averagely. When I speak to you, my brother, it doesn't take you any time. There's no delay in you understanding what I'm saying if it's understandable. If I say to you, good morning, let's go down to the store and get a cup of coffee. How long did it take for you to translate what I said? And the brain is translating what is being said to you at the same speed in which you are saying it. Now that is beautiful. That is the capability of the brain. So when you're dealing with the brain, and I tell them that they can think at an average speed of 24 billion miles per second, they take that to heart. I also tell them the duty of the subconscious. What is the duty of the subconscious? The duty of the subconscious is to store or retain all information from the time of your conception until the day you die. The brain never stops recording, and it has total recall of that information, because we can go back to our childhood sometime and pull up information, and you can go and say, oh, that guy's name, his name was Bill. Man, I'm 60 years old, and last time I saw Bill, we were like 8 years old, but his name is Bill. If you tell the brain and let the brain actually search for that information for you, it can pull it up. It is the same thing in fighting. The fighting information, you tell the brain that you want to keep that fighting information up front. If it's not there when there's trouble, you must know how to bring that information up immediately into your brain and use that information in time of danger, and you can do that. But the brain also has the ability, my brother, to create and adapt while it's fighting from the information in which you have fed into the brain. And I'm talking a little too much. So.
Oh, no, no, sir. This is the information. This is the information that we're looking for. You know, I can say it. You know, I'm a sports psychology coach, and I'm also a sports hypnosis coach. And, you know, talking, and because everything happens in our head, and then it signals to our body, you know, for all these things to occur. And people do not, in many cases, they don't realize, you know, the power of the mind, the frequency in which the mind operates on to, you know, bring this information in and then to mentally rehearse it and then being able to give it back out. So I think this is great information. This is the information that we need to learn that it's not all about the physical technique. It's not always about the trophy that you won, you know, but it's the study. And when you, you know, I always say that some people can take martial arts, some people can do martial arts, but when you study the martial arts, that is a lifetime quest because it's totally endless in the learning and the knowledge of your physical self. And what so many people sadly die and leave this planet is never understanding their inner self of how they work so they could be more efficient and get more things done. So this is exactly what we're trying to reach out, you know, and, you know, during your competitive time, what you did and what you were thinking and what you're learning and moving up to the next level. And I know that you, you know, you've had been in the nominated for the Black Belt Hall of Fame, and you've accomplished many, you know, different things. I know you were involved in the movies. I think you were Jim Kelly's instructor, played the role of his instructor in the Enter the Dragon movie.
Yes, sir.
And I also know that one of the great actors I think of all time and phenomenal martial artist, Wesley Snipes. I know for several years you were his bodyguard. So those are really, you know, phenomenal things of, you know, the legacy that you've done and the mindset that you now are still bringing to us, you know, in the martial arts. So what message would you say to martial artists today that you feel that would encourage them to the next level? What message would you give to even to myself as a martial artist or to young martial artists out there, young instructors? What message would you like to give them about on their journey in the martial arts based upon what you have discovered?
I would say that number one, in dealing with our children, is to teach them once again critical thinking, because that has been taken away from us through electronic devices, I believe, because most of the children today, and I would say what the media is now teaching us, is that there is no right or wrong. It is only our perception of what we believe. And when you deal with our children, they actually speak that kind of language that they will tell you, well, you may think it's wrong, but I think it's right. I said, but when you do something like that, according to God's law, or even just the law in general, that it's incorrect. I said, your parents had to teach you that there are certain things that are just wrong. He says, well, when you talk to the people on the street or you listen to the TV set, or they say whatever your perception is of that, whatever they believe is wrong, it may not be wrong to you, you know. And how do you actually deal with something like that? How do you actually train them? I saw on my Facebook the Europeans, and they were fighting. And I saw the Europeans fighting the way in which we used to fight when I was coming up. They were solid in their movements. They were hard in their movements. And there was none of them that I saw on Facebook out of all the fights that I saw that were not fighters. They were fighters. They were warriors. I think today, in dealing with our children, it's more play. We're not supposed to spank our children anymore. I spank my grandchildren as I spank my children when they were coming up. When they're unruly and they repeat the same thing, I spank them. But today, the child can call the police on you, and they'll come out and arrest you for child abuse. How do you discipline a child? I mean, there are some ways in which a child will listen, but what about a child that won't listen with the use of words? Can you get grabbing and spanking or spank her? You should be able to do that. But because you're unable to do that, trying to tell them to do something, I'm not going to do it. How do you get them to do it? You can discipline them. They don't care. You can put them out of school. They don't care. So how do you discipline them? And if you look, and with the language of God, he tells us that we should be able to spank our children. And that's in all the books of God, that you should spank your child when they're unruly to be able to teach them discipline. But today, our society, our government says, don't spank the child. There must be another way. Well, you try all those ways, and when it doesn't work, what do you do then? Because I would rather spank my child to keep them from being incarcerated or even killed, and keep them alive by spanking them. If that will do it, I will do that. But today, it's really sad because you see children that are 3 and 4 and 5 years old arguing with their mom, or hitting their mom, or cursing at their mom. And I don't see how any father that stands around and actually allow that to happen with the mother of the child. So I don't understand why the society here is actually doing that. I don't know if it's happening all over the world, and I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about what's happening here in dealing with our children. And if we don't find a way to teach them critical thinking again, I have that problem with my children. They're grown. I sit down and talk with them every week about how do you think that way? Everybody think that way, and they do. But hopefully I'm keeping them. None of them are in jail or on drugs or anything as of yet, but they're all grown. They're able to do what they want to do. That's why I bring them to my home and speak to them. But,
and this is where it's really important, I think, as the martial artists. You know, we are charged with helping parents that are sort of lost. They don't have those skill sets. Or they have skill sets, but they're too close to that relationship that the martial artist, and, you know, when people come to my studio, they fill out a form and they put down there, I need for them to learn more self-discipline, I need for them to have more confidence. You know, because we are, in many cases, one of the last frontiers to helping children, helping individuals to discover themselves. I tell my parents, my greatest black belts, always sitting my chairs, which are my parents, you know, that, you know, martial arts, the study changes your life. It empowers you in that. It empowers your children if they're got it right. But the quality of your program is only as good as the person that is leading that program. And with our children, they don't, and we have to realize, they don't have life skills. When you're talking to a four-year-old, that four-year-old does not have life skills. They're just learning how to develop the mind-body coordination to be able to walk. So therefore, you know, the quality of parenting, there needs to be a parenting program in that. But since, you know, we have so many different beliefs, who's to say who is right or who's wrong? What you have is outcomes. And those outcomes is, like I said, you know, the number of incarcerations, the number of kids not succeeding, the number of people, you know, not upholding or being the person that they could actually be. So, you know, we find that our job, our responsibility as martial artists is to guide, and it is to discipline. It is to teach discipline. It is to teach self-discipline. It is to teach confidence. It is to teach focus. You know, it is to teach honor. And these are a lot of the things that sort of shut down that.
Oh, yes, sir. But, you know, if we don't find a way, and I teach with the children, I teach them discipline because, like you said, the parents come there for that reason, for them to get some type of discipline because they're unruly. And as I said before, when they come in and the parents say they're unruly or they're just timid, I always take them back in the back room and have a talk with them, just myself and them. The parents can sit outside the door and listen if they choose to do so, and listen to the language in which I use in dealing with them, you know. And particularly with black children, I start off by telling them who they are and how proud I am of the black children of today, and that they are a generation that is born for today to make a change in the world for themselves and also for their people. And I sit there and I talk to them about those kind of things, you know. And I always, if they're really small, like they only come up to my waist, I always get on my knees, and before letting them go with their parents, I always ask them if I could have a hug. And I haven't found one of them that would kind of nudge away or move away after sitting down and talking to them. And I try to use the language for the age of which the child is. And it's really something to talk to. And all my children are 5 and above, 5 and 6 and 7 year old children, and try to make them understand what you want them to do. But the love in which they seem to feel when you're talking to them is how they respond to you. And I've found none of them that respond negative. And all their parents, if they come back, all their parents say, they really talked about you and said you asked him if he was a nice man. And they would always say, yes, he's a nice man. And do you want to go back? Yes, I want to go back. And most of the students that come, I don't remember how many that didn't come back. But I would say 90-some percent of the students, once I sit down and talk with them and the parents hear me talk with the child, they always come back. So the school, which I'm at now for about 3 months, I've got about 45 students in that school in 3 months, which is very good for a school, I believe. Yeah. And I get students every week. I get 1 to 3 students almost every week. And
so the concept that you work from and you know that works, you know, because you're teaching, you know, a key element between the mind, the body, you know, the science of martial arts, but the key into that is love.
That's right. That is right.
That is awesome, sir. Sir, we truly do thank you, you know, for the time that you've given us today to share your story, to share your principles, and that we may learn. This is a very important part of the learning process, we feel, in the martial arts. This is not the hoorah, it's not a MMA, you know, show. You know, it's really about going back and finding that information, and which is the same path that I'm on, is teaching about the mind, the body, through the principles of the martial arts, to help people to, you know, become better. And this is the reason why with the American Martial Arts Alliance and all the other instructors and different organizations, now we want change in the world, then we really have to start with the knowledge. You know, we think that all old things are old and they don't fit. But those old things actually, in many cases, were the foundation to our society, to our martial arts, to who we are as a person, and then to parents, and that you have to have a foundation. And I believe that the martial arts and the principles that's taught in the martial arts is that solid foundation if people, students, instructors, if they choose that way of building the foundation on the principles in the martial arts.
That is right. I agree.
All right, sir. We do appreciate you. Sir, how can we, is there a telephone number that if someone has a question that they can reach out to you?
Oh, yes, sir. They can call me at the number in which you have on me now.
Okay, and that number, if you're trying to reach out, is 404-787-2868. And so, and you are in what, when I started the call today, for some reason I was thinking you were in New Jersey, but you are actually in Georgia. Am I correct?
That is correct. Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, great. That is awesome. And, you know, we definitely want to see you, you know, at our event. We'd love to have you there because that's what we're recognizing is who's who in the martial arts, the legend of the martial arts. And, sir, you're truly a legend in the martial arts. And, you know, and the more I've been studying up on you the past weeks is, you know, really want to learn more about, you know, your teachings, your principles, and about you. And, sir, it is a great honor.
It is my honor, my brother. And I thank you very much for having me on your show.